from the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you, friends. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Wednesday and every single day. And even though the intro music said live from the Capitol, well, today I am live from Alsea. Yes, a wonderful town and community here in Oregon, a little over an hour drive south of Salem, in kind of more southwest of Salem. And I'm telling you, it was a beautiful morning, except for the traffic. Yes, I have a little more mercy towards those of you that commute to work every single day, because they're on the interstate heading south. It was really, really slow moving this morning. And so hopefully that's cleared up and not any longer one lane traffic in some areas. And I made my way to Alsea School District. And I want to explain in words to you and kind of paint a picture of the beautiful drive that I had this morning. Once I got off of the interstate and kind of through Corvallis and all, wandering through the countryside, I saw some of the most beautiful farms. I saw some timber area, rolling hills and mountains. And the neat thing is, I love this and appreciate this about Oregon. And it made me think, man, I need to get some timber folks in on a interview and get a little understanding of how the timber industry works. But I can clearly see that this part of Oregon and this part of the world is definitely agriculture and timber. And what I appreciate, I love the little signs along the highway when there's been a clearing. It'll say this area was cleared in 2020, but replanted in 2021. New trees planted. I appreciate that. And certainly the hardworking people of Oregon and this part of Oregon, I'm so excited to feature the Alsea School District today. Under the superintendent, Mark Thielman, and his wonderful staff, I've heard some incredible stories about this area and the dedicated staff working really hard for their students and alongside of their students to ensure and guarantee their success, particularly through this last year that we've experienced with COVID-19. And so with me today, I'd love to introduce to you a phenomenal student that I'm coming to know today. His name is Sam. And Sam, good morning. Welcome to the morning show today.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Well, you have quite a story to tell, and we've got a little bit of time here to talk a little bit about it. Talk to me a little bit about school, and have you always been fond of school growing up?
Well, I have not. I definitely have had struggles trying to concentrate and focus on school, and I used to go to Cottage Grove High School, because mm-hmm. that's where I live, and they're amazing, but because it's such a big school, the teachers don't get enough one-on-one time with the students, and so they just kind of give out a group work, and they expect you to fulfill that and do it, and it's a little bit hard for me, so that's kind of been my base motto for all teachers,
mm-hmm.
and then coming here, where the teachers talk to you individually and give you individual work that they've come up with for you, it's been really eye-opening and pretty amazing experience.
So what year are you in school right now?
I am a senior right
you
now.
You are a senior. So last spring, you're in your junior year and COVID hits, right? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, it was in March right after my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday is March 17th and everything shut down March 18th, I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure. And so I was like, yeah, I'm 17, let's go. And then everything shut down and I wasn't able to really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the school was closed. And so I just kind of was alone at my house for a large part of the day,
mm-hmm.
every day. And it started getting to me mentally a lot,
mm-hmm.
where I started dealing with depression and feeling alone. And like all my friends, we're extreme extroverts and where we love talking with people and we love engaging and seeing people and making them laugh. That's one of my favorite things. And so having that taken away suddenly
mm-hmm.
really was hard. And so all of us in my friend group kind of took it really hard. And how I deal with like really bad situations is I like to hibernate in a little shell, and that's not too healthy for me.
I know a lot of adults who like to do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I kind of lost about all of my friends during that time, and it was really hard because I was just sitting bored and alone at my house.
So this happened in your at home, and now they're talking about doing school from home.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think of that? And how did you try to get through that? And how did you find ALSI schools?
Well, they started distance learning, and it was not good for me because I cannot focus in a classroom, much less at home in my room with plenty of distractions, staring at a teacher through a webcam who is obviously bored and doesn't like this as much as the students don't. And it's really hard for them right now because they're trying to shift their entire agenda online and make it suitable for the kids. And then the kids are having to be stuck at home trying to just watch a boring 2-hour sermon where they don't do anything. And it's really hard, especially for me. And then, you know, I have a cat on my shoulder. My mom opens up the door and is like, "You want any food?" while I'm trying to do school.
Real life up close, huh?
Oh, yeah. All the way. And so it was just very hard. And so my grades, as a lot of other students, just plummeted. I think we had one kid in the class, in my language arts class of like 13, that was passing. Only one of them was.
Wow. So the challenge is not only, and I think you described that well, not only the teacher trying to make this big shift into making it helpful and, you know, that their whole career, which is pretty much set, their routine and their, you know, like you said, their agenda and their teaching ways and styles totally shift to an online platform. So you have appreciation for that. And yet you're having to go through that yourself. You're like the students, right? So you have to do that. So then, so that obviously was a struggle and a huge obstacle. From there, how did you find this school district?
Well, my family has been good friends with Mark Thielman for pretty much all my life. And I didn't really know what he did as a job. That's not really like something that we ever talked about. It was just kind of like a, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Oh, pretty good. Nice seeing you." Bye type of thing. And then he started talking about him being the superintendent at ALSI High School and how that will be pretty much the only in-person school in all of Oregon. And so automatically I was like, "Whoa, what's ALSI? Where's that?" And also, how do I get there? Because I looked it up on Google and, oh, it's a 2-hour drive.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah. Every single morning and then every single night back.
And did you have your license?
I at the time I did, but I didn't have a vehicle.
Right.
And I was like, "Okay, good. I have the means, but not the car." And then I started talking with Mark, and he was offering to drive me to school every single day.
Wow.
Take time out of his extremely busy life because he's also battling so many people to keep this school open. But he was willing to take time out of his day to pick me up and drive me up there.
Incredible. So that continued on. Is that even till today?
He still does that.
Picks you up from school and then makes sure that you get home in the evening as well. And that's 2 hours. Wow.
2 hours every single day. And so he picks me up around 6 o'clock. We get to school at 8. I have school. And then I used to have football, which we just ended. And then that would end around 5, 5:30. And then 2 hours back home.
Incredible. So tell me what this has done for you.
Well, mentally, back when COVID hit, my whole kind of viewpoint on life and school and everything just completely plummeted because I've been dealing with bullying all my life. And then I kind of got over that junior year. And then the end of junior year, COVID hit. And I was alone, and I kind of reverted back to the mental space of that and really just hit rock bottom. And I was thinking about dropping out of high school, really just not doing anything with my life, maybe getting my GED and continue on the trades, but I wasn't really hopeful for anything. And then started talking with Mark, and he was very adamant about me coming here because he knows, like, he understands how I feel a lot because that was him when he was younger. And so he gets where I'm coming from. And so he's very understanding of all the students. And that's something that I massively appreciate about him, mm-hmm. and that he actually cares about the education and he cares about the kids enough to devote his time to them.
It's a reassuring to know that someone who's been called into the teaching field is actually passionate about the teaching field. And so you started traveling, started coming to school here. What did you find when you started school here? Because sometimes what you think it is and what it actually is two different things. Tell me what you found with the staff and fellow students here.
Well, when they talked about Alcee being a hick town, I had, you know, my base standards from Cottage Grove, mm-hmm. where you have Romeos, like very long jeans, and mm-hmm. then Carhartts and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the kids at Cottage Grove High School were a little bit more, you could call gatekeeping, mm-hmm. like their country stuff. And then I come here and everyone is hick. Mm-hmm. But they're not gatekeeping it and they're not closed off. Mm-hmm. And they actually welcomed me and they started talking to me. And it was reassuring and really nice that the students actually accepted a new person. Because mm-hmm. a lot of the times when you transfer to a new school.
In a bigger school especially, it's not usually the case, yes.
Yeah. But at the small school, they were understanding and the teachers were amazing. Yeah. They talked to me individually. They tried to understand my hobbies, the challenges that I face, and they actually wrapped around their schedule around how to help me.
That's awesome. And so what kinds of classes are you taking here?
Well, I do math because you need that. Mm-hmm. I do language arts and science because those are my three core classes. And then I do art and shop class and then weights and conditioning right now.
So it's keeping you interested, right?
Yeah.
And you feel like you're learning things?
Mm-hmm. Because I've been drawing and doodling all my life. Mm-hmm. And then I would say since freshman year, my drawing has extremely skyrocketed. Like I actually draw something and I'm like, that's not half bad.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I was like, oh, it's trash, wad it up and throw it away. And then coming here and kind of being motivated and pushed to do art, mm-hmm. more because I'm in an art class. Mm-hmm. That's kind of in the job description. They started pushing me to do it and I was required to draw more and more. And so having that accountability was very helpful. And now I'm coming out with pieces that I think are pretty good.
Fantastic. And you're starting to explore beyond high school, what you want to do and mm-hmm. all of those fun things. And we're going to, I definitely want to, after we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit about kind of where do we go from here? Where do you go from here? And I want to talk, you got into football, didn't you, a little bit? Yes. I want to talk about that when we get back and we're going to continue the conversation here pretty soon. I want to share with our listeners a little bit, a couple things. You know, having gone to school here in Oregon and graduating from high school and myself not ever planning on going on to college, but because I had caring individuals, teachers, coaches, see something in me and pour into me, I really firmly believe because of that, I am where I'm at today. And I think so many times as adults, we just in our place of work and the things that we do, we think that, you know, how can we make a difference? We truly can make a difference. And I want to speak to those of you that have students and those of you who might feel overwhelmed right now, don't give up hope. Be encouraged and be encouraged by this story. Be sure to share it. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey, and you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. With news that you can use, we're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you, friends. Thank you so much for sending me your feedback and your insight. And I want to remind you, even if you don't agree with what we're talking about throughout the days or the weeks, I encourage you to send me an email. I encourage to get the feedback and send it to me at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. I had quite a bit of folks sending me emails yesterday in the topic that we talked about. about yesterday, and even some that weren't so happy with the topic we were talking about yesterday, and that is okay. That's what's so nice about News Talk Radio, is we have an opportunity to kind of talk about these things and be real up close. Life up close is important because we learn from one another. And you know, we've been through such an incredible year this last year with COVID and all of the issues that we're facing, trying to get back to some sort of normal, whatever normal is. I usually say normal is a setting on the dryer, right? That's about as normal gets. And so it's important that we learn from each other and we encourage one another and we stir each other up and say, yes, we can do this. We can overcome. And that's why I was so inspired when I heard the story of Sam and what the school district here in LC is doing, and leadership like Mark Thielman and others here in the district to come alongside students and go that extra mile to make sure that they achieve their goals and their dreams and they find their value and worth. And Sam, you are so amazing to share your story and the things that, and to be honest about where you were at and what you were facing. And I think we as adults can assume these things because we remember what it was like when we were kids, right? And it's nothing like it was now. It's like, oh my goodness. And so thank you for being real with us today. And even though we talked about some of the challenges you face, you've really had some opportunities and doors open here. Talk to me a little bit about playing sports and experiencing things you've never done before.
Of course. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have always kind of been a little bit more of an active kid. Kind of when it came to sports, I would hop from sport to sport to sport. I never really found my thing, mm-hmm. because I would do South Valley Athletics and I would go from basketball to baseball to soccer back to basketball. And then I started doing water polo because why not? Mm-hmm. And then I started coming here, and the first day here, people were like, hey, are you going to do football? And I was like, well, I don't know, trying out, you know, because at Cottage Grove High School, you had a big, long process, mm-hmm. and then the money and all that stuff. And so I was just like, well, I don't know. And then people were like, well, you'll be great at it. And, you know, you don't have to really try out. You just walk down and say you're on the football team and you start getting practiced and taught by amazing coaches. And it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, I started and I had no idea what I was doing. Absolutely no idea. And even though I'm a senior, and most of the time seniors know what they're doing, mm-hmm. during football, mm-hmm. the team was actually very accepting and understanding, which never happens. Mm-hmm. If you're a senior and you don't know what you're doing on a football team, mm-hmm. like, what are you doing? And so, but this team actually was very understanding and actually would help me through some stuff. And so it was amazing.
Football, it takes such discipline. It takes a lot of willingness to learn and be humbled and all of those things. I certainly, I never played football other than I played a kind of a fun little powder puff game my senior year in high school, but I have an understanding and appreciation for that. What is the one, can you come up with one lesson you learned by joining the team that will stick with you, you think, for the rest of your life?
I would probably say no matter how much pain, no matter how much suffering, no matter what's going on with your home life, what's going on with school, you, no matter where you're at, will always have a team. Mm-hmm. You'll always have a family. You'll always have people to help you and help pick you up when you're down. And that was like a major thing in football. I remember we were playing this one team. I got a bad cramp in my leg, and the opposing team, one of the kids decided to step on my leg that was cramped up on the field, and it hurt a lot, and it was very hard to get up sometimes. And I'm a little bit of a bigger kid, and seeing like some of my teammates who are not quite as big to come over and try and like support me and help me up, even though I was kind of like stumbling around there, like falling, it was very nice and honestly very like humbling to see them come over and try and help me and put aside like
what a great problems. Picture of better together, yeah. Right? And I think we get, you talked about the isolated state that you're in, you were in before you came to LC School District, and now you have a team, yep. Right? You're a part of a team. Oh, yeah. Not just part of the team. What happened?
Well, the last game I was team captain, and I led our team to league champions.
Incredible. Oh my goodness, that's incredible. So what position did you play?
I was primarily the nose guard,
okay.
on defense.
Okay. Well, that's pretty remarkable. And we've got on here with us too, Coach Tim. Hello, Tim. How are you? Welcome to the morning show.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
And I think I've got your mic on there. Let's see if we got you.
There we go.
There we go. Talk to me a little bit about your role here at the LC School District.
Well, I am. I was started off as Sam's math teacher, and so I did get to have Sam in our morning first period math class, and then I've transitioned into a principal, and I'm doing our Learn at Home Oregon principal. And so, but I've also got to be the football coach.
Okay.
And so, as Sam talked about, day one, we welcomed him into our math class, and at the same time said, "Hey, have you ever played football?" And he's like, "Nope." I say, "Well, maybe you want to try it."
Oh, yeah.
And it was awesome, and we started to connect, and got to see his artwork because he is a great artist, and turned his math papers with some little doodles and stuff on them, and but it was great because we got to connect, and I really appreciate Sam for how much he has grown this year.
Yes,
and for him to be able to come out here and publicly speak in a setting of, hey, you know what, I was not in a great place mentally, and you know, to really see him shine, and I got to be very thankful for him to be out for football, and he said he just learned how to do it. So we got it going, and I like I said, just amazed by how good you are today.
You know, I love this story, and it's so powerful, and I think it needs to be told. And so we're going to continue the conversation after this. Tim, I have a few questions about coaching and the school at home program and all of that. We're going to continue the conversation, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back after this. I'm Stacey Ann, and I'm here in Austin, Oregon. We're having a wonderful conversation. And I want to say thank you to the Best of the Willamette Valley for being a morning show sponsor. And they have voting right now presented by Rick's Custom Fencing and Decking. It is open now through the 23rd of April. Vote for your favorite business. And there's all different categories. In fact, you can even vote under the tab of what to do, things to do tab. You can vote for your favorite radio station, KSLM, as well. Kind of excited. We didn't have a chance to do that last year, but we're there this year, and I encourage you to get on in there and do some voting and do it every day up until the 23rd. And tomorrow's show, we're going to feature the Best of the Willamette Valley tomorrow as well, and we're going to talk all things real estate. Looking forward to that conversation. Want to go through a few of our items, community calendar items, with you before we get into more of the content of the show. Of course, tonight is Liberty First University at the River Church, starting at 7, but the hour before, at 6 p.m. tonight, I'm going to be doing a little advocacy training. And this training is going to be, how do you talk to your elected leaders? How do you get heard by your elected leaders? And we're going to do a little bit of training on that tonight. And so I invite you to come to the River Church in Salem at 6 p.m. and then Liberty First University at 7 p.m. And then this Saturday at 2:30 at the Capitol is Oregon Right to Life's March for Life, which got postponed from January, and it's going to be beautiful weather. In fact, bring your baseball cap and some sunscreen, because it's going to be in the 80s on Saturday, and that's at 2:30. And then the following Saturday, April 24th, is the Safe School Summits, Parents, Rights, and Education, and I'm encouraging you to get registered as soon as possible. That's going to be on April 24th, and you go to parentsrightsined.org and get registered. And then May 1st, Canyon View Camp is looking for help May 1st for their cleanup day. Give them a call, 971-239-1347. Continuing the conversation today, having a wonderful time talking to Sam. And Sam, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, before you came here to go to school and while you've been here at school, but I have some questions about what's your plan after, you know, everybody does that your last few months of your senior year. Okay, so what are you going to do when you grow up, right? Right. And there's adults, here I am, you know, in my 50s, I still don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. So talk to us a little bit of what your plan is. I know you're in shop and you've done some things in shop. Have you learned some skills that interest you maybe beyond high school? What are you thinking?
Oh, for sure. Our wonderful shop teacher, Mr. Crow, has talked to me one-on-one, given me insight and information on the trades and how they function as a group and society, really, because it's a whole different, really, like, environment working on the trades versus working at, like, a different office space and whole different all just sorts of different talk and lingo. And so he was talking to me about that, and I actually got hired at Commercial Metals Incorporated, mm-hmm. and so I'm becoming a steel fabricator.
Oh, fantastic. So you're learning in high school, you're learning skills that you can take with you beyond high school. Oh, that's yeah. fantastic. So you're working and going to school?
Yeah, I go to school 4 days a week with mm-hmm. 4-hour drives each way.
Wow.
Each day. And then on Fridays, I work. And then on Saturdays, I work.
Fantastic. Well, that's exciting. So what plans do you have for graduation? When is, you got that on the calendar, graduation date, and you're kind of counting down? Or
I think it's sometime.
In May, usually?
May, June. We're in yeah. June. We're
June. Okay.
Well, that's good.
So you're just a few months away
just
from all of this.
Away.
How exciting. Well, I'm really honored to meet you today, and I'm encouraged, I know our listeners are too, by your story, and by really making it happen for yourself. What great skills as you move into adulthood, huh?
Thank you.
And have you turned 18 already?
I have turned 18.
On March 17th,
yep.
right? Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you for coming in and coaching. Coach Tim, thank
yeah.
you for what you do with students. And not only are you coach, but you're also principal. Talk to us a little bit about your role there and what's been happening with the school.
Well, of course, last year when everything went kind of crazy with the COVID,
mm-hmm.
As a district, we had our leadership meeting, and I got to be a part of that. And we were discussing what will be the best thing for students.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we are like, hey, we want kids here at the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started that whole process. And last spring, we could not actually have kids in the building. And so we're like, okay, so how can we make whatever education that we can provide the most meaningful? And so we worked on that, and we kind of had our leadership team do everything we can to, under Mr. Thielman's direction, like, hey, let's make our brick and mortar up and going.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big selling point for a lot of kids to come to school. And so we did that. At the same time, we also realized that not every kid, we can't educate every kid in our brick and mortar here. And
mm-hmm.
so we also said, hey, what can we do about creating a good, meaningful online learning experience for kids? And so that's where Learn at Home Oregon came in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a Learn at Home platform where it's under Paradigm Systems that it's a project-based learning opportunity for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so as that started at the beginning of the year with zero kids, you know, because it's a brand new program, we got up and running, and now we have over 500 kids.
Incredible.
And so,
500 kids at the Learn at Home program. How do people learn a little bit more about that?
Going to the internet, go to Learn at Home Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and you'll come into our website, and then basically has a little info. And if you're like, hey, this sounds like a great program for your child, then they can register online, and so we can get them up and going.
One of the interesting things about this last year, maybe a silver lining in if you can look at something good coming out of a very challenging time for educators and students and parents and all of that, is that I think people are looking at education a little differently, more student-focused, perhaps, I would hope. And it sounds like from what you guys are doing here that you really take that student and you say, what's best? It's almost like a case management understanding of what's best for each of the students and making sure it's a win-win for them, right? And what has been the best gift for you this last year, kind of the silver lining in all of this?
Well, and that's where I think hopefully the right attitude, right mindset of, hey, we're going to make the best out of whatever situation it is.
Mm-hmm.
We will be successful. And mm-hmm. I think that's part of, I think hopefully some of the lessons that Sam learned is like, hey, we will always make the best of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we have made the best of this whole situation. And our brick and mortar kids are doing better. And then the group that we've had in our Learn at Home Oregon, they have been getting the education they need
mm-hmm.
for them to be successful. And so we are very excited about how everybody's come together, everybody works together, and we just keep on making, hopefully, the best gains in all of our things that we're doing, education, athletics, job, career, technical experience, et cetera.
Well, and the thing, because you're in a remote area, in a rural area, the thing that I'm most impressed with is how it's so high tech in such a rural area, and it's based out of here, and it's that core values of, I believe, this culture here that makes you figure out a way over, under, around, or through, that we reach out to a student in another school district who is struggling, that they say, hey, we've got something here that not only will be valuable to you, but you'll be valuable to the people that you meet here, Sam, and for you as well, and as an educator and a coach, you know, to learn to, and to pivot, in a sense, we heard that word, right? So you're learning how to do this in the best way you can, given the circumstances, right? What are you seeing in the students in the brick and mortar school, some of the challenges that they're overcoming, you know, to not be in school and then to be back in school? Do you see them taking their education a little more seriously?
Oh, yes. I think them knowing that a lot of other people do not get to come to brick and mortar, mm-hmm. has allowed them to go through everything that is required of them, you mm-hmm. know, between wearing the mask, you know, the traffic flows in the hallway, et cetera. I mean, it's not a, quote, exactly the normal traditional school still, mm-hmm. But the chance to be here, be able to socialize with your friends, get to know people, be involved with your teachers in, you know, face-to-face, I think the kids have just really have shined and said, hey, yeah, we will do what it takes for us to do that. And it's led to, I think, amazing outcomes for our students.
Have you seen a more parent involvement at all? Parents, what are the parents saying in response to all of this?
Super supportive. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, having our everybody understanding that we're all working towards the same outcome. We mm-hmm. want our school to be the best. And everybody's kind of jump on board between the students, the faculty, and the parents. I mean, we have great support from our community to give us the resources that we need. We were able to pass a bond this school year. Mm. And so we have many great things in the works for our school district.
A lot of success going on, and you're also leading the way in so many areas that we've had Superintendent Mark come into the room. And Mark, if you want to join in on the conversation, maybe, right there, Sam, that'd be perfect. As we continue the conversation, I have lots of questions, and I want to keep you in with us too, Tim, here. You know, Mark, when I think about all of the great things that you've been doing and leading the way here as we move forward, and I think about where we were a year ago and we're shutting down the schools, and listening to you, of course, you've been on the show before, talking to us a little bit about you know, first the fear, a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear. You know, we don't want any COVID cases. We don't want our families affected, moreover our students. And we want to keep our teachers safe, and just that struggle as a leader. Mm-hmm. And out on the other side of that, here you are a year later, mm-hmm. you know, leading the way. Many schools are calling you going, how did you do this? Because just now, even in Salem, in the newspaper, Statesman Journal is saying, by fall, finally, kids will be in school 5 days a week, not until fall. And so the challenge, you know, I have a hard time wrapping my head around that, because in my mind, bigger school districts have more resources and more people to get her done, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I was just in a meeting with the OSA. It's the School Sports and Activities mm-hmm. Board. They gave me an audience because, you know, we basically have put out complaints as a school district saying that the kids get to go to school every day in LC, and boys and girls get to participate equally. Mm-hmm. And then at 3:30, because volleyball is indoor, all our volleyball players instantly become a threat to public health and safety. But football gets to practice as a team outside, but volleyball can't. They have to stay in groups of six and be and only 45 minutes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was expecting a lot of support from our colleagues at OSA about this. And instead, it's been the opposite. It's a lot of apologies about, well, this is COVID and safety trumps equity. And the reality is it doesn't. Mm-mm. And the success at LC is because we recognize that relationship. So it starts with a fundamental understanding of the seriousness of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I think Mr. France here remembers me stressing that this summer, because, you know, we have to keep confidence of our staff. We need them to show up to work. They have to have confidence in our plan to keep them safe. And all the investments we made were directed at keeping staff safe, because all the data showed that kids were much less affected by COVID. And mm-hmm. even if they get it, you know, the very few deaths, if any. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that played out in the real data in Oregon in real time. So the whole point is you have to take it. We took a different attitude in LC. We looked at the data. We looked at the facts. We got the emotions set aside. And then we said, can we do this? And can we,
that we're going to continue the conversation after this, because I think it's really important that we look at how we move forward mm-hmm. and how we deal with the sports and how we deal with the schools coming forward. So we're going to continue the conversation, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you on this lovely Wednesday. In fact, the weather's going to continue to be good all the way through the weekend. This weekend, it's going to get up to 80 degrees, and I'm looking forward to that. Yes, I don't suntan. I sunburn or freckle, as oftentimes I'll say. And you'll need some sunscreen and probably a hat if you're out and about on this weekend. And certainly even today, it's good to see the sunshine. I want to say thank you to Safe Air Network. Thank you, Safe Air Network, for being a morning show sponsor. Make sure that your air and surfaces are clean by joining safeairnetwork.com today. And I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, for being a morning show sponsor, Country Land Financial. Go to SunderlandAgency.com. Give Bill a call, 503-885-0789. We're continuing the conversation, and I am on location in LC School District in the community of LC. I think there's like 250 people that live right here in the community. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I am excited to be here with Coach and Mark, and we are having fun just kind of talking about school and celebrating success. Mm-hmm. And I just want to commend you, Mark, and just thank you for going above and beyond in hearing Sam's story and seeing something in him and realizing that, hey, I have the ability to impact a life here. Mm-hmm. And that's why you get, that's why you become a teacher, right? That's guys, why you get into education. And I think sometimes in our walk in life, we kind of lose focus on what the main thing is. And you guys haven't lost focus. Talk to me a little bit about, we're talking about the schools and trying to figure out how to reintroduce kids to the classroom, but also the sports and the things that help them as they move along in the maturation process as they mature, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, as we were talking before the break, keeping the mission of the school and outcomes for kids out front. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that's as common as I wish it was. We had lots of discussion as staff about we need to step out, and it's kind of scary, but we can do this and we can be safe and it's work worth doing. And so that work worth doing theme really is prevalent here in the school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sam's story is an example of that. Look at the outcome, because we chose to do the brave thing, in a sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was scary. Mr. France knows. Mm-hmm. We had many discussions behind the closed doors as an ad team mm-hmm. about all the risks. And at the end of the day, we said, no, we can do this. And so when it comes to sports, we've been a huge advocate for opening up sports, mm-hmm. which weren't open and allowed. And that battle has been pretty egregious. But when they did open up, the rules were completely disparate. So again, at 3:30, our girls became threats to public health and safety. They can only practice for 45 minutes. They can only practice in groups of six. And yet OSAA and LC School District and schools all across Oregon have equity stances mm-hmm. and that we're supposed to take action when that comes. And so, and the problem with that was allowing the governor's office and OHA to step in under the guise that public health trumps all these other things, and it does not. Mm-hmm. Public health is should be an equal partner at the table. Mm-hmm. And you have to balance that with these other outcomes for kids, because isolation is bad for kids. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. I shudder to think of what what Sam's life would have been like had he not got connected to an in-person school this year, because he was in a rough place.
And that illustrates the need to continue to battle for these students in these platforms, in these organizations that seem to control but seem to be removed from the day-to-day relationship with students. That's the part that troubles me. You have all of these, you know, lettered alphabet soup, you know, titles of organizations that seem to be putting kids at their safety and their what's best for them in mind, but really it's all this policy in the way from actually making a difference in kids' lives.
Well, let me tell you the latest theme, and it came up in just this last meeting I had with OSA. The next step is basketball going to be allowed? And we are huge advocates to allow indoor basketball because we allow indoor school. And so what I was told by various entities of the leadership of the OSA is that having basketball would violate the 3-foot rule, where kids can't be within 3 feet. And that is simply not the case, because we have cohort data that says that kids in cohorts, groups, how are you going to keep kindergartners 3 feet away from each other all day?
Yeah. Preschoolers.
And
yeah, all of that.
For the quote-unquote experts, people in positions of power who have lots of authority, to even think that that's remotely possible is offensive to me, because we are still human beings and we're not property, and we are individuals, and we do have freedom and liberty, and we have to balance those things with safety risks. And the success in LC is a great example of that push-pull between those forces, and then finding those creative ways to balance those needs. So we have real life going on here. We have homecoming week going on here. Yesterday I dressed up as the principal from the Breakfast Club. I look good with my flare collar and all that from the 80s. And so what I'm saying is those are things that we're able to do because we've basically said, we're going to take the risk and do this. And we've really led the way all year. And remember, look now, they're on their almost fifth round of guidance changes. That's how wrong the experts have been.
Well, and what is the data here in your community, in your county, as far as COVID and the outbreaks and the incidences? I'm sure you're on top of that as well.
And I think I've said this in prior interviews, we've had COVID come through the community. You know, it hit poker night down at the hay ranch down there. And the issue is it was scary when it first hit. And we did what we always do as a staff. We assessed the situation. We got testing lined up. We worked with our county to get everybody contact traced. And then we brought people together either through Zoom or in person, depending on who was comfortable doing what. And we made the big announcement. There is no, you've done nothing wrong if you get COVID, because that was the real issue, you know. And you remember that meeting. And I can't tell you how many staff members came up after that meeting and said, man, I'm really glad you said that.
Right.
And I said, you know, if we're going to deal with this stuff, we have a plan. We're going to stick to the plan. We're going to stay focused on our mission. And if we have to close a day or two, or send third or fourth grade or eighth grade or whichever cohort home, that's what we're going to do.
That's right. So you stayed ahead of it, and you have a plan, and that's really what is needed to open up the schools. You know, you've laid the groundwork, and you're actually kind of an example for the rest of Oregon. Are you getting calls? How did you do this? Things like that?
Lots of calls, and that makes me nervous, because I shouldn't be the we here in LC. I'm not the only one who gets calls, obviously. My principals as well. But we should not be the authority on, you know, guidance, school guidance for the state. It makes me nervous to do that. But if people call, we're absolutely going to provide our expertise.
Absolutely. And you are going to be at the Safe School Summit, the Parents' Rights in Education, and you'll be able to be a resource there for anybody that has questions and things. And those that are still interested in the going, I never say the word right, school at home, what is your?
Learn
at home, Oregon. Where can they go again to learn more about that if they want their students engaged?
Well, again, they can go just Google Learn at Home, Oregon. It'll come up on the website. It's a fantastic program. We're constantly improving and growing it. We even do micro schools, so if parents want to get a group of kids together, we'll provide the curriculum.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be here learning more about ALSI and your works and efforts here. I applaud both of you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yes, and I look forward to a little tour of your school here afterwards. And friends, learn more about what's happening in our communities. It's important that we get involved, get behind our school boards, our schools, and give them great insight on why it's important to get back to school. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. God bless you, and God bless the USA. God.